Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, I am here. Amen. We're going to preach to you today about the eternal flame. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. In Paris, France, one of the greatest attractions, one of the most outstanding pieces of architecture, is the Triumphal Arch. It is a stone structure rising high above the street, 160 feet high, 148 feet wide, 72 feet deep. It was commissioned by Napoleon, the emperor at that time of France. It was completed in 1836, even after Napoleon had died. It's quite an imposing and beautiful structure. It stands as a memorial to the soldiers of France. Underneath the Triumphal Arch, there is a eternal flame. It was commissioned and established in 1920 on Armistice Day. And it is a flame that never, ever goes out. It's always burning 24 hours a day, 365 and one-fourth days a year. You can go there almost any time, and around that eternal flame you'll see wreaths of flowers that people bring in memory of the fallen soldiers of France. 1961, Jacqueline and John F. Kennedy visited that flame and marveled at that memorial. After the assassination of John F. Kennedy in 1963, Jacqueline Kennedy said, that's what I want at his grave. I want an eternal flame. So if you go to Arlington Cemetery, outside of Washington, D.C., in Arlington, Virginia, there in the Arlington National Cemetery, and you walk up the knoll to the grave of John F. Kennedy, even though all these years have passed, there's still an eternal flame. It's still burning. It never goes out. Amen. I want to talk to you today about a flame that started burning, that God said, I don't ever want it to go out. Amen. Moses started out as a firebrand. He had an interesting life. He was a miracle baby. His name means drawn out of the water, because that's literally how he had his beginning. As all Hebrew boys, he was supposed to have been drowned, but the source of his destruction became the source of his salvation. And Pharaoh's daughter drew Moses out of the water, needed a nurse to raise him, and so his sister said, I know somebody, went and got his own mother. Amen. And she raised Moses, and all the time she was nursing him and training him, she was whispering in his ear, don't ever forget you're a Hebrew boy. Don't you ever forget. She was putting a fire in his heart. Amen. You live in Egypt. You're going to be raised in Egypt. You're going to hear a lot of Egyptian things. But don't you ever forget that you're a Hebrew boy. Don't you ever forget that you're just a little Jewish boy. Amen. Don't you ever forget, you live in a foreign land, but you're still a promised child. And so put it in his heart, and he grew up, and he never forgot those words. He was educated in Egyptian schools. That proves to me that you can go to heathen schools and remain a child of God. Hear me, young people. You don't have to believe everything that they tell you. Now, you can believe that 2 + 2 = 4. That'll always be true. But when they start trying to make a monkey out of you, draw the line. Amen. When they get into foolishness, you draw the line. When they start telling you that it's all right for 2 men make a marriage or 2 women make a marriage, you draw the line. When they step into immoral ground and try to teach it as morality, you draw the line. Amen. You don't have to believe that, because that's not true. And so Moses grew up in a foreign culture. He was taught a lot of stuff. They taught him, according to Jewish culture, that the world was hatched from a gigantic egg. My, what a chicken. And they taught him that people came from these little worms that crawled up out of the Nile River and somehow became human beings. Now, we're not far removed from that today. But when Moses wrote the book of Genesis, he didn't say anything about eggs or chickens. And he didn't say anything about worms crawling out of the river. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. And so somehow he got a fire down in his heart. And it just smoldered there. And he understood that God had created him for some special purpose. Young people and elders alike, you need to get a hold of some purpose for your life today. Don't you just drift through life. Amen. Just from pillar to post. Just being pushed by the winds of convenience. But you set your sail and you determine that I'm going to do something with my life. The greatest thing you can do with your life is not make money. It's not some great invention. Those may be true. That might happen to you, and that's okay. But you set the purpose of your life. I am determined I'm going to find the will of God, and I'm going to perform the will of God no matter what happens around me. Moses grew up with a purpose. And yes, he struck a blow for freedom. Didn't work out. I've told this story, but I got to tell it again. I like this story. The little boy he was a little boy scout, and he knew that he was supposed to do a good deed every day. So he did a good deed, and he came home, and he had a black eye, and his hair was messed up, and he had scratches on his face, and his clothes were torn. And his mother said, "Honey, what in the world happened?" He said, "I did my good deed for the day." And she said, "What did you do?" He said, "I helped a little old lady across the street." And he said, "Well, what happened? Did you get run over?" He said, "No." He said, "She didn't want to go." That's what Moses ran into. He wanted to deliver some people, and they weren't ready to go. Amen. Now, they got ready a little while later, but it took them 40 more years to get ready. Amen. You can't deliver people until they're ready to be delivered. Amen. And so that's what he ran into. He was just a little premature. Well, 40 years old, peak of life, specimen of health and vitality, but he couldn't deliver the people of God. Dejected, discouraged, he found his way out in the middle of a desert. Got attached to the house of the Midian priest. Jethro was his father-in-law. 40 long years passed. And believe me, the fire had really gone down. Amen. It had almost been extinguished, but there was still a flicker. Here he is thinking, can you imagine going from the courts of Pharaoh to being a shepherd out in the desert, forgotten? Nobody but God knew he was there hardly. My, what a come down. But here he is, 40 long years, just eating the dust of a herd of sheep, a flock of sheep. Just following after these little woolies, day after day. What kind of life is this for a man of Moses' caliber? Amen. But God was teaching Moses some things. You're going to be taught some lessons in some very unconventional ways. Like the father that was teaching his son how to ride a bicycle when he hadn't rode one himself in 30 years. So he jumped on the bicycle and started wiggling and wobbling and run right in the front end of his pickup truck, knocked out the headlight. Hey, man, flipped over on the ground. And he said, "Now, son," he said, "that's how you don't ride a bicycle." So that you can teach negatively and you can teach positively. Amen. But God was teaching Moses some lessons, even though he was a shepherd. He had a lot already, but God said, "I need to work on your heart a little bit. You've got it up here, Moses, but you need to get it down here. And getting it in here, folks, is a lot harder than getting it up here. I know people that have the word up here, but they don't have it down here. They can quote it with their mouth, but they can't live it with their heart. You've got to make that journey somehow to get it from your head into your heart. That's how you live it. Amen. That's how you serve God. You can't serve God with your head. You've got to serve Him somehow with your heart. You can't just love Him with your mind and your mouth, but you've got to learn how to love Him with all of your heart." And so Moses was getting it in his heart. That's why he was out in the desert with a bunch of sheep. And then he comes across this marvelous sight. It wasn't that the bush was burning. That wasn't what got his attention, or at least what kept his attention. What really got his attention was that it wouldn't stop burning. The fire would not go out. And the Lord was just letting him know something. Moses, hey, son, amen, the fire's still there. Just don't let it go out. Just don't let it go out. And so he was fascinated by this bush that was burning, and it wouldn't go out. It just kept burning, and it kept burning, and it kept burning. And he drew aside, and he watched it, and he marveled. I've seen some fire in unusual places. If you ever get to Pierre, South Dakota, go to the Capitol grounds, and it's best if you go at night. You can see it in the daytime, but you can really see it at night. Go to the Capitol grounds and you go back behind the Capitol, and you'll see some water. It's a spring, and that water's springing up, and inside that water are flames and tongues of fire, because somehow gas and water are coming up together, and two opposing forces are commingled. It's a fascinating sight. The water doesn't put out the fire. They just flow together. Amen. It's one of the most amazing things that you'll ever see. And it's a natural thing. And so Moses, he had this fire, and he said, it just keeps burning and burning and burning. And all of a sudden, the voice spoke out of the flame and said, "Moses, take your shoes off." I wouldn't have had to. They had already been gone. Anytime a bush starts talking, I promise it'll get your attention. The Lord said, "Moses, take off your Nikes. Get rid of your Reeboks. I need to talk to you. I don't want you running anymore." And so the Lord begins to speak to Moses out of the bush. Amen. And he begins to explain to him that now the time has come. And I'm sure Moses, like us, discouraged, over the hill. I'm 80 years old. What in the world is an 80-year-old man going? How's an 80-year-old man going to deliver a bunch of people? How in the world can I do that, Lord? Now, when I was 40, I could have done that. But I'm old now. Heard about a guy one time. He said, I always wanted to be a doctor. He said, but it's too late. He said that by now, by the time I get through college and go through all the training, I'll be 50 years old. And his friend said, well, if you get to live long enough, you're going to be 50 anyway. So you might as well do what you want to do. Hear me today. Don't you cheat yourself out of a blessing because of your age. It's a number. That's all.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, whoever heard of a 70-year-old doctor? Well, you get to be one, they will now. Amen. Just go ahead and go for it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But people cheat themselves out of things because they look at a number and say, well, too old for that. Amen. And so, but the fire was still there. The Lord said, all right, son, now if you're 80 years old, now's the good time. When you were 40, you tried on your own strength and you didn't make it. But now that you're 80, you're going to have my help. And I'm going to show you, we together can get it done. So when Moses is 80 years old, now it's time. Amen. I'm telling you something, friend. When you get this fire, it don't matter what age you are. It'll put some strength in you. It'll put some backbone in you. It'll put some energy in you. It'll give you some life. Amen. Several years ago, we had a 92-year-old preacher preach at the General Convention. Amen. Now I'm telling you, friend, he didn't mess around either. He got up there, and I'm telling you, he didn't preach long, but when he preached, he preached. Amen. He said, the fire is still burning. Amen. And he gave it all he had. I have a good friend. He's in his 90s now. And when I talked to him, he said, I can't preach much anymore. He said, I can't hold out very long. He said, but I give it all I got. Amen. That's all God's asking. Just give it all you got. He can do more in 2 minutes than you can do in a lifetime. So just give him what you got. That's all it takes. And so Moses listens because the fire is burning. Amen. All through the scripture, we see fire. Amen. Praise God. We see fire beginning with the Exodus. When the Lord brings the people of Israel out, the Bible says in the daytime, it was a cloud of fire. Amen. And when that cloud of fire moved, they moved. And when it stopped, they stopped. And at night, that fire would keep them warm in the cool of the desert. Amen. And if it started moving at night, they got up and moved at night. And let me tell you something. When you follow God, it's not always going to be comfortable. And it's not going to work according to your schedule. Woo! It's not going to work according to your schedule. Amen. I know a lot of folks, boy, they live by a schedule. Everything's got to be just right. Heard of a guy one time, somebody asked him if he was hungry. Look at his watch as if he was hungry. Amen. I don't have to look at a watch to tell you if I'm hungry or not. But we can get so used to a schedule, can't we? Amen. I know everything's got to be on a schedule. Forget schedules. When God says move, it's time to go. And you hear me? There are going to be times it's not going to be convenient. Amen. He's going to mess with your comfort to see if you're obedient. And so Israel sometimes, he would take them out in the night. He would take them out in the day. But he said, Moses, now when that moves, you get ready, son, and you go with it. Amen. Hallelujah. And we still get the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. And it's It's not always convenient, but when it moves, you better move. We used to sing that chorus, you gotta move. You gotta move. You gotta move. You gotta move. When the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. Amen. You may be high. You may be low. You may be rich. Or you may be poor. But when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. Amen. Now you gotta do that. You say, well, nobody's going to move me. Well, you'll see. Amen. He'll just move you right on out of here. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got to follow where He goes. And He led them by the fire. Amen. Now, when God gave Moses instruction to build the tabernacle and later the temple, He put fire in it. When God builds a church, He's going to put some fire in it.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said that one church said it was so cold, it said that they had the penguins in the pews, amen, and an icicle in the pulpit. Amen. That's a cold church. Amen. But the Lord said, now I'm going to build my church. He said, I'm going to put some fire in it. And He started, He built a fire on the outside at the brazen altar. Now, the brazen altar was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of death. And He said, I'm going to put some fire inside. But He said, it all starts right here. The fire that in there, it starts right here. You cannot bypass sacrifice. If you're going to have any fire in your life, you're going to have to sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. Amen. So He said, I'm going to, when they offered a sacrifice, fire came down from heaven and started igniting on that altar. Amen. And here's where the fire starts, right here, folks. Amen. Brother Christian, why do you always try to get us to come to the altar? Because this is where the fire starts. And this is how you keep the fire going. Amen. If you come down here, it doesn't mean you're backslidden. It doesn't mean that you messed up this week and sinned big time. All that is just coming down here and check the fire. Amen. Lord, I want you to fan the flame. Praise God. I don't know what's coming up this week. Brother Hart just told us in the Sunday school lesson what happened to Job in one day. But he made it because he had a fire. Amen. And you don't know what's going to happen before this day is over. You don't know what's going to happen before this next week ends. You're going to need some fire, folks. So that's what this altar is all about. It's about coming so God can fan the flame and keep the fire burning on the inside of you and I. Amen. So He set the fire at the brazen altar. And then from that, they took the fire inside. And inside of the holy place, there was a candlestick, and it had some branches, seven branches, and they lit that candlestick, and they said, don't let that go out. You keep that fire going. Amen. Praise God. You know how to keep from being deceived and falling into false doctrine? You got to keep the light going. Amen. Because that represented the word of the Lord. He said, you keep that light going. The Bible said that you buy the truth and you sell it not. Amen. And it talks about some people that are deceived because they had not a love for the truth. You not only get it in your head, but you've got to get it in your heart. And you've got to love it. Amen. Keep that fire going of that candlestick. And then there was an altar there, a golden altar, that had incense on it. And that represented prayer and praise. Amen. You know how to keep the fire going? Keep praying and keep praising. And there is a difference. Amen. If you don't have praise in your prayer, it just becomes a gripe session. Just coming to God griping about life. Amen. You got to put some praise in your prayer. You know what I've learned in the Christian life? When my prayers are not getting anywhere, quit praying and start praising. Have you ever had to do that? You ever run up against something, I'm not getting anywhere? Amen. This prayer's not going anywhere. Heaven's brass. It's just bouncing back on the top of my head. You know what I've learned? If I quit praying and I get up and I start saying, God, you're so good and you're wonderful. Amen. You've never failed. You're always there. I want to give you praise for who you are. And just begin to praise Him for who He is. Praise Him for what He's done. Praise Him for what He's going to do. Just have a praise session. And in a little while, all of a sudden, you'll begin to feel the fire springing up. Amen. And there'll be a moving of the Spirit of God in your soul. Because the Bible says God inhabits, lives in the praises of His people. We got to keep that fire going, folks. Amen. Keep the fire going. It was in the temple. It was there. Amen. He said, don't you ever let it go. When they moved, they kept the fire going. Amen. When they set up the altar, there was fire there. Amen. They kept it going. They didn't let it die. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the fire came down. Hallelujah. God ignited a fire. And He let that fire burn. He kept it going. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we got to have some fire, folks. Amen. Fire makes you warm. Amen. Sometimes too warm. Praise God. But fire makes you warm. The beautiful thing about fire is that it keeps you from getting cold. You know what makes people gossip? They get cold. You know what makes people critical? They get cold. You know what makes people bitter? They get cold. Amen. Praise God. That's a danger, you see, of just continually resisting the Spirit of God. It's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. When the Spirit calls and woos, you need to move with it. You need to be drawn by it. Don't resist it. Because when you resist it, it gets easier the next time. And it gets easier the next time. And it gets easier the next time. Until after a while, you can't move at all. Amen. You stay sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I've heard people say, God, if you'll give me the Holy Ghost, I'll do anything. Anybody remember saying that? Amen. If you'll give me the Holy Ghost, I'll serve you. I'll do anything for you, God. And God's so gracious, He gives you the Holy Ghost. And then you get so cold that He can't talk to you anymore. He can't move you anymore. You get so used to resisting Him. Amen. I'm comfortable where I am, Pastor. I don't want to move. I don't want to get up. I don't want to go down there. I don't want to look like something's wrong in my life. Yeah, I'm just comfortable right here. I can pray right here just as well. Oh, maybe you can. Maybe you can. I don't know about that. Amen. But I know that it says something to God when I make an effort to come into His presence. When I deny myself and I make the effort to follow Him. It says something to God when I do that. Amen. So you don't want to get cold. So the way you keep from being cold is you got to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Amen. Fire represents light. And when there's fire, there's light. Amen. Praise God. We live in an old dark world, folks. Amen. You know, danger, darkness is dangerous. Some of the worst accidents I had in the dark. Amen. When it's dark, you can hurt yourself. Amen. When it's dark in here, you can bail off this platform and you can hit those pews. And I tell you, they're real solid. I decided I'd walk across the back of the church one day, just, you know, from that door to that door. I've done that so many times. But you know how tall that little cabinet is back there where the sound booth is? It's right here, right where your mouth is. And it's really a rude awakening when you're walking, all of a sudden, wham, it reaches out and hits you right in the mouth. And you think, that was one of the stupidest things I've ever done. All I had to do was turn on the light. Amen. But you'll get hurt in the darkness. You walk in darkness, you'll hurt yourself. You need light. Amen. Darkness, you can't determine values in the dark. One of the worst things I ever did was buy a car when it was dark. That was a stupid thing to do. Cars do not look the same in the dark as they do in the light. But Brother Hart, I was in a hurry. I wasn't patient. I was in a hurry. It was. I never will do that again. I learned a very valuable lesson. Things don't look the same in the dark as they do in the light. Amen. That's why the Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Amen. But you get things out in the light. You can tell what it really is. Amen. You want to know if you're a Christian or not? Get in the light. Anybody can look like a Christian in the dark. But you get in the light where you can examine things and see them the way they really are. So it's important that we stay in the light. Amen. There was a prophet one time by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a great prophet. You know what I admire about him? That he just kept on doing what was right, even when it wasn't popular. Jeremiah preached, nobody wanted to listen to him. As far as I know, he never had a convert in 40 years of preaching. Now that's pretty tough. Anybody can preach when it's exciting and people are coming to the altar and there's miracles and there's healings and all kinds of stuff happening. Jeremiah preached and nothing happened except criticism. People made fun of him. People laughed at him. They put him in prison. They did all kinds of things to him. But you know what? Just kept preaching. But finally, Jeremiah said, I've had enough. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. He said, thou art stronger than I. Well, that's smart. And hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me in derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah said, I had enough. I'm just going to let the fire go out. But then he said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. He said, I tried to shut up, but he said it was in my heart. Hear me. When you get the word in your heart, you can't shut up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you wish sometimes I would? Amen. But you just can't shut up. It gets going and it said, I just couldn't stop. He said, I was trying to hold back and I got so tired of holding back. Finally, I just let it go. That's what some of you need to do. You're tired of holding it back? Let it go. Amen. One songwriter said, if a hallelujah can't come out, Lord, why put it there? Amen. So if God gives you a hallelujah, let go of it. Let it out. Amen. Praise God. That fire is the very presence of God. Amen. They thought old John was quite a preacher. And he was. The Bible said people would leave the city to go out into the middle of a desert to hear John the Baptist preach. I mean to tell you, he had some fire. But one day he was preaching, and he said, I baptize you with water. But he said, there's one that's coming after I. The latchet of whose shoes I'm unworthy to unloose. And he said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. And fire. Praise God. Hallelujah. I learned a valuable lesson about fire. Fire will consume anything that it can. But what fire cannot consume, it will purify. That's why you need the fire in our heart, in our lives with a heart. I got some stuff inside of Johnny Grissom that doesn't need to be there. There's some old petty feelings and things that get inside of us that don't need to be there. That's why you need the fire.
Amen. That's right.
Because that fire will consume everything that's in your heart that doesn't need to be there. It'll burn it up. But there's some things in your heart that fire cannot burn. All it can do is purify. It'll make it clean. It'll make it holy. It'll make it pure. It'll make it right. You need the fire tonight. Praise God. We need the fire tonight. Let's stand together, please. Thank you so much for your attention here today and your time. Amen. There's a fire that God started. Amen. And we need to fan that flame. Keep it burning. Never let it go out. 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 Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord told a church in the book of Revelation about removing their candlestick. That was the light, Brother Hart. They'd got involved in some things, and he said, if you don't get this right, he said, I'm gonna remove the candlestick. I'm gonna take your light away. I'm gonna take your warmth away. I'm gonna take your revelation away. I'm gonna take away your purity. I'm gonna take away your righteousness. Amen. That's something that you and I must avoid at all cost. That God would ever remove the candlestick from this church. That God would ever remove the fire from this church. Amen. We've got to keep it burning. I believe it's burning today because I feel it. And have all since the beginning of this day, fire's here. Amen. How about you? Is the fire burning today? If it hasn't, it can. If it's never been ignited, Jesus can set you on fire here today. And if you've allowed it to get low and you're growing cold, now's the time to come and ignite the fire. A man had missed a number of services, so the pastor went to visit. He walked in and greeted, had his cup of coffee and sat down. As he was talking to the man, there was a fire going, and the pastor got up, walked over to the fire, and he took some tongs and he got the log out of the fire and he set it down out of the fire. And as they talked and they watched, and that log that had been removed from the fire, the fire began to diminish. After a while, it was just smoldering and smoking. And then before the pastor left, he took the tongs and he put the log back on the fire. And when it got back in the fire, it was reignited. It began to glow and produce warmth and light. And he didn't say anything to the man. And the man said, I got the message, Pastor. He said, I'll be there Sunday. Amen. I'll be there Sunday. Amen. How about you today? You can't let the fire go out, folks. Got to keep it going. Got to keep it burning. An eternal flame. An eternal flame. Don't let it stop. I know there's discouragement and things happen and life doesn't turn out like you planned for it to. But don't let anything happen to the fire. Don't let anything happen to the fire. Praise God. God has entrusted you with something precious. Don't let anything happen to the fire. Amen. Praise God. There's an altar here open this morning. Somebody needs to get the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's here right now. It's for you.